We're back in final hour. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we welcome in our friend Corey Curtis to the program from News 2 on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. I want to congratulate everyone on the Packers, Lions, and Bears going undefeated this weekend.
Yes, they did. Very well said. Very well done on your part. What did you make of Wild Card Weekend? Still two games to go tonight, so we'll see what that looks like. Yeah. But what did you make? So the Packers take down the Cowboys in destructive fashion, I might add. The Lions with their first playoff win in more than 30 years. Texans destroy the Browns, and then the Chiefs play a Dolphins team that, in my opinion, largely didn't look like they wanted to be there. What did you make of the four games we have seen to this point?
Well, first off, with that Dolphins Chiefs game, and this, I have no dog in that hunt at all. I will always feel this way. I understand that weather is a part of the game. It's irresponsible to play that game, in my opinion. It's not safe. I mean, those weather conditions. Look, they don't play games in the lightning or during tornadoes because it's not safe. And so, playing in negative degree temperatures, especially when you've got inebriated fans making bad decisions, it's not safe, and I will continue to say those games need to be postponed. And so I would have picked Miami to win that game because I think they had a lot more talent. But when I knew they were playing in those conditions, the outcome did not surprise me. You know, I know the Packers have been playing well, but the Cowboys have been destroying everyone at home. I mean, by winning over 20 points a game at home. And so that outcome, regardless of the Cowboys' past, was very surprising to me. You know, not that the Packers played well, but that the Cowboys just got rolled. And it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. You have to think that Jarrah is going to fire somebody when that comes. And,
oh, yeah.
And, you know, and then the other thing was, is, you know, obviously Jordan Love played at a really high level. You saw some really high-level quarterback play from him. You know, not just throws, but vision, extending plays and keeping his head up. I mean, you know, throwing to spots to give guys an opportunity to make plays. And then, you know, Jared Goff stepping up his game. I mean, he was in command last night. They threw the ball in situations where I don't know if we could ever dream of the Titans throwing the ball the last few years, you know, to put that game away. And then the last thing with that game is this, is as I was watching that game goes on, I think I said five times, field goals get you beat, field goals get you beat. And, you know, the red zone is what determined that football game, and the Lions took care of it on both ends. And that's why they won the football game, but it's a great game. It was good to have one good one in the mix. And that was a fantastic game. And I, you know, is for a Lions fan, and I know Joe, you're not one cause you've disavowed the team. But you know, winning a game like that to me is so much more satisfying than winning it. I mean, like, I know it's satisfying for the Packers to win a blowout, but for a team that hasn't won a playoff game in 32 years, to be battle tested and to hold on to win a football game, you know, and not blow it, that's satisfying.
So the Cowboys situation could impact potentially maybe Belichick, maybe Mike Vrabel. Yeah. Oh, by the way, since we've talked to you last, Corey, Mike Vrabel's been fired. Do you have any thoughts on that before we move into who may go where? Your thoughts on Mike Vrabel being fired?
Well, you know, last Monday I probably wasn't as sharp on it as I should have been because I thought it was possible, but you know, I wasn't like, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. And I think back on it now, and I feel probably a little foolish. I don't know, but you know, I guess vision. You know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, whatever. I think we've learned a lot. You know, your and Diana's report was great because it, you know, opened some of the stuff that kind of led to it. And I think we just kind of learned more about the organization. But, you know, I probably said this Monday morning last week, you know, when you lose, you get fired. I mean, it's no different. It's been shocking to see just how far the national media has come to Vrabel's defense in this. Acting like not only that he's won multiple Super Bowls, but that he's even been there. And I'm not saying he's not a good coach. He is a good coach. But good coaches get fired all the time. I mean, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl and got canned. They're already talking about Nick Sirianni a year after he went to the Super Bowl, And this season's not even over yet. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know, from that aspect, it should not surprise us. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, how the Titans move forward with that.
So to that point, Corey, who are some of the candidates that intrigue you the most as they embark on this coaching search?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm not going to say I'm an expert on any of them. All right. You know, they're not long time assistants. They're assistants, and they all have something in common except for Dan Quinn. And that's, they're all pretty young. I mean, they're all pretty young. But that kind of goes in line, I think, with their thinking of what they want as an organization and how they're going to work, you know, moving forward. You know, they need, you know, a little more forward thinking at a younger age to change. You know, in TV, we don't advertise to people over 50 because you can't change their minds. You can't change the way they do things. So hiring somebody who's 35 or 40 or 42 makes a lot of sense. Obviously Bobby Slowick makes a ton of sense with his ties to Rand Carthon, and he's done an amazing job this year. You know, not just with CJ Stroud, but, you know, that offensive line has been a turnstile this year for the Texans, yet they have managed to work through it. And it hasn't been just CJ Stroud. You know, people don't realize Devin Singletary has just kind of been a journeyman. And he's had a great year for them behind that offensive line that's rotated players in and out. So they've been able to run the football effectively, and they didn't give up a single sack against that Jim Schwartz Browns defense. You know, so I think there's a lot that's impressive here. You know, there's a lot of people who think a lot of Brian Callahan, you know, so that's obvious. I think Ben Johnson's going to have too many suitors and probably be – so I think somebody like Washington will pay a lot of money for him. It's just a matter of what he thinks is the right fit. So, I mean, and look, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about Mike McDonald. I know his defenses are great. But you know, defenses are great in Baltimore every year. So maybe my vision on that is skewed. I don't think it has to be an offensive coach. I know a lot of people do. I think I need to know what your offensive philosophy is and who you're going to get to execute it. I think that would be important, but I agree that I would lean towards an offensive guy.
Yeah, and then just the Levis aspect of it, just in terms of him. Obviously, Corey, you know, he has a switch. It's unfortunate. You never want to see that with a young quarterback. Year one, the coach gets fired, especially when it's not like it was really expected until very recently, right? I said last week – and maybe I'm overplaying this, but Will Levis does know the West, you know, the new West Coast, the Shanahan offense. I mean, he played in two versions of it at Kentucky. Would that be – I'm with you. I don't think it has to be, but I would lean that way. But what about just that particular system perhaps helping him, you know, because he has some familiarity with it?
Well, not only that, you could hire his old offensive coordinator, right? You could bring him in to run it. So that would be even a shorter learning curve for him as well. And also, you're not falling into this trap where, well, this year you fired the offensive coordinator, but you give the head coach another year, and then next year you fire the head coach, and you bring in a new coach and a new coordinator. So you've got a third coordinator in 3 years. You know, you hope you get all this right in 1 year. So for the next 3 years, he's got the same setup. And obviously, if it's an offense he's run before – And let's be realistic, and Jared brought this up on our show last night. All these guys from that Shanahan McVay tree, I mean, they're all largely successful. I mean, and they're all running the same thing. So why wouldn't you want to, you know, pull from that tree and kind of go in that direction? Because that seems to be where the league is headed.
All right, Corey, last thing for you. Who you got today? Steelers and Bills playing in Hoth out there up there in Buffalo. And then the Eagles on the road with no A.J. Brown taking on Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Well, listen, when you've got Mason Rudolph and a T.J. Watt-less defense, that's like the Ewoks fighting at Walkers. And so I'm gonna go with the Bills in that one, where they were responsible enough not to play in a snowstorm where it was like 2 degrees. So I thank the people of Buffalo for putting the game off a day. And then the night game, you know, it should be the Eagles, right? Hands down. But they sound like they're kind of a mess. Now, is A.J. Brown – I always say you're not better by getting rid of good players, and A.J. Brown's not going to play tonight. But obviously, there's something going on there. And does him not being in the game help them out tonight? I don't know. It's hard to imagine. But I don't know all of what's going on there that's made them such an incredible mess. You know, to go from – I mean, what were they 11-0?
They were, I think, 10-1. Yeah.
10-1. Yeah. And now they're 11-5. I mean, they're almost the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, yeah. So it should be interesting. It's, you know, this is one where, you know, maybe the Eagles all get it right and, you know, it's not a great game. On talent, I have to take the Eagles in this one, but I think I'd be afraid to touch it with a bet.
Caleb Williams going to be drafted by the Bears, or is he going to boycott the draft? What's going on here?
I mean, what does Caleb Williams think? Like, that the Bears can't develop quarterbacks? I mean, come on.
Wait. That was fake, though, right? That was a fake report, right?
I think it was fake.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
But it's insane how many people circulated it. God. What a world.
Yeah, you know, you really got to be careful with it. I mean, I got by a fake Ian Rappaport like 10 years ago with it had two R's in it. So it was well done. But, you know, I really try to be careful of all that stuff. You know, I always go
although
back
I will
to
say
it, you know,
I don't think he's officially declared for the draft, which I think he's got to do by today.
Well, you know, I will continue to say the same thing over and over again. You know, if you got a quarterback that you think is okay and fine, and he's coming along and he can be the guy for us, that's not the same as a guy you believe is a generational talent. All right, if Justin Fields can win games in the NFL, he's won games in the NFL, he's had big games in the NFL, he's had stink bombs in the NFL, but when you've got a guy who you know, I mean, look at C.J. Stroud, all right? You think Caleb Williams is at least C.J. Stroud, all right? You have to take him. This is not a hard decision unless you think that Caleb Williams is fraudulent in some way. And watching that guy the last couple of years, the arm talent is stupid good. Stupid good. And I know people got on him for crying. I do not care that he cried. I care that he cares. Okay? He wants to win, and that's what's important to me. He's got crazy arm talent. It should not be a hard decision to draft Caleb Williams first overall.
Corey, stay safe in the snow. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you next week.
Enjoy your victories now, fellas, because next year it's Caleb Williams all the way. We'll be watching Caleb Williams play Will Levis in the Super Bowl at the new Nissan Stadium.
Oh, what a place, what a time that will be. Thank you, Corey.
It'll be a 52-51 shootout because that's what the Bears and Titans are known for.
Yes, offense galore. Very much look forward to it.
Can't wait.
Corey Curtis with News 2 joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. We'll react to what Corey had to say, get our thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, what we've seen to this point. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guest Falling in Reverse at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Saturday, February 17th. The caller 3-615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Disturbed with special guest Falling in Reverse at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, February 17th. 615-737-1025. Joe, a interesting wild card weekend. And we had one really good game between the Rams and the Lions. The Lions pull that out for their first playoff win in more than 30 years. And other than that, some blowouts. The Chiefs blow out the Dolphins 26-7. The Texans destroy the Browns 45-14. And the Packers dismantle the Dallas Cowboys 48-32 and a game that was not as close as the final score would indicate. Your thoughts on Wild Card Weekend, Joe, that continues today with the Steelers-Bills game being moved to today and Eagles and Tampa Bay coming up tonight?
Well, it's been surprising. I actually, let me ask you, what's more surprising, your beloved Packers absolutely housing the Cowboys or the Texans making the number one defense in the NFL and the guy who invented defensive football look like amateurs? I mean, I think it's – some people close. Might immediately jump to Packers, but I think it's close.
I think the way that – just how easy the Texans made it look against that defense was pretty eye-opening. Now, like, you know, having – you know, Packers made it look easy against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys got a good defense too. But I've seen that Browns defense – looks so dominant so many different times this year. The fact that they didn't sack him and they weren't able to generate pass, you know, a pass rush at all in that game was shocking to me. So I think I would lean Texans and what they did to the Browns.
Yeah, I might too, because I actually, I guess I do, because I mean, I go back to last week. I felt really good about the Browns. -2 in that game, which is what I picked in Pigskin Pick'em. And it's funny because we all picked the Packers. Now, that's the Packers getting 7, but we all picked the Packers. So, now, the way they went about it was stunning, but that team is red hot. You know, to Corey's point on the Texans, yes, they shuffled offensive linemen and things like that, but that's the thing. They had good players to shuffle in and out. They have a good left tackle. They have a lot of good players on offense. And also, I just think Bobby Slowick, you couldn't have a better interview, non-interview, but audition for owners and GMs around the league than what he did in that game. Because, yes, they held him without a sack. Stroud is fantastic. The receiver's really good. But there was some scheming going on in that game that was a big part of it. I mean, Stroud's got guys – yeah, running free all over the place. The little tight end screen for the touchdown was fantastic. Just completely caught them off guard and out of position. Bobby Slowick had a big day as OC. And I think, you know how it goes. If you got somebody in the playoffs doing big things, it seems like Slowick and Johnson are going to be the two golden boys that people are talking about a lot here in the next few weeks.
Well, and the Lions get the win last night. You know, just watching the game, Joe, it felt like just an incredible environment. You know, I said it earlier, there are people covering the Lions that talked about that being the loudest football game they've ever been to. And just the kind of the noise around it with Stafford coming back in, which apparently he got booed, which was also pretty interesting as well. But what a win for the Lions. And they got another home game coming up next week. It's going to be either against Tampa or against Philly. And we'll find out who that is tonight. But with Dallas going down, two home games in a row in the playoffs, at least for the Lions.
Nah, it's pretty awesome for Lions fans to be able to enjoy that 32 years, and also just to see their team, because like, there was a ton of pressure on that team. A lot of people were picking the Rams, including myself, but I got the lock because they only lost by one. But
very frustrating.
I thought the Rams were going to win that game, and they've played really good football lately. The Lions offense, I thought it was a brilliant thing to take the ball, you know, take the opening kickoff and say, dictate this game with your offense. And their offense was dominant in the first half, and they finished drives with touchdowns. So the Lions are formidable when it comes to their offense. And their defense did enough, did the red zone. Like Corey said, it's about the red zone. I still think that the Niners are going to go to the Super Bowl. But I will say, I mean, I think the Lions can be in that NFC Championship game, and I am very interested in your Packers out there, the way they're playing. I mean, are they up to that game on the road against that team? I don't know, but if I'm the Niners, I'm watching some film right now, Jordan Love, and saying, whew, this is not going to be a gimme.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're on paper outclassed in just about every matchup against San Francisco, but they were outclassed in just about every matchup with Dallas too. So I have no idea what's going to happen in that game. I think San Francisco opened as a 10-point favorite, which is not surprising. That sounds about right. So we'll see. It's going to be really interesting to see how that one kind of shakes out. You know, I thought Mahomes and the Chiefs looked pretty good throwing the ball the other night, especially in the conditions. And I don't know, like, you know, they've been bad on offense all year, but there's something about them in the playoffs, Joe, that is just going to make you incredibly nervous playing them no matter who you are.
Well, the exciting thing is, yeah, Mahomes has not had to play on the road in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see how today goes. I just tweeted out a video of them shoveling snow out of that stadium, and my goodness, what a scene that'll be today. That, and to me, I mean, that's potentially an equalizer. It's not like Buffalo's a great running team, right? The Steelers have found their running game. So I feel like maybe that game's mucky enough that the Steelers have a chance. But if we get Mahomes in Buffalo next week,
be awesome.
That's fun. That is awesome. And, yeah, we've never seen him on the road in the playoffs. So I absolutely am not counting that team out at all. Their defense is legit. And, yeah, I think there was some confidence built in that passing game. And you wouldn't expect that to happen in 0 degrees at night. But they looked a lot more efficient against a defense not playing its best.
Coming up next, we'll give you an update on the latest on the Titans head coach situation and the search for that coach and the latest with coaching openings around the league as well. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Thursday night for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders on the road taking on UTEP with pregame beginning at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, who is hanging out live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Go a quick update on the Titans coaching search. So they have officially interviewed four candidates. Brian Callahan of the Cincinnati Bengals, offensive coordinator. Mike Kafka, offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, which has been met with interesting reaction from Titans fans. Antonio Pierce, interim head coach for the Raiders, has also done an interview with the Titans. And finally, Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. So those are the four interviews that have been officially completed. Obviously, Ben Johnson's still out there in the playoffs. Bobby Slowick's still out there in the playoffs as well. But what do you make of what we've seen to this point in the Titans coaching search? And do any one of those four that they've actually interviewed to this point intrigue you the most? Or I guess maybe the better way to ask it is, which of those four intrigues you the most, Joe Rexroad?
Well, obviously Callahan comes from the tree that right now is just bearing fruit that is delicious. Maybe I've taken that too far with the analogy, but you know what I'm saying. The delicious fruit of Bengals offensive football. Kiwis for everyone. But yes. You know what I'm saying? It's a tree that's been very productive. So that's a good place to go, I think. But I'm not, I mean, honestly, I can see it. McDonald, here's the thing about the Ravens. As you may recall, we need to revisit our preseason picks. I think I was bullish on the Ravens.
You were.
But I wasn't sure. I thought Monken with Lamar Jackson, that offense, Zay Flowers, I thought it could be really good. I was wondering if their defense would be, like, decent, you know, because they actually, on paper, did not look great on defense. He's done pretty fantastic stuff with that defense. So I don't dismiss that. And I think Pierce has been really impressive with the Raiders. Got to understand the bleep show that they were. And apparently, again, the Josh McDaniels just weirdness that just all of a sudden you get him out of the building and it's like things totally turn around. So I guess maybe you could look at it like anyone but McDaniels is gonna look good, but I think he did pretty special things with that team. When you have Max Crosby going on his podcast saying he's demanding a trade or suggesting it if they don't hire Pierce, that speaks a little louder than just like the typical interim coach is NFL players like, oh yeah, we really like him, I hope he gets a job. This is like, he damn well better get the job. I take that seriously. So I think all three of them are interesting. I loved Mike Kafka at Northwestern in that Northwestern offense. It was fun to watch him play. I mean, look, I don't know. He might end up being the greatest coach of all time, but I get why people are underwhelmed with that one.
For the record, I had Cincinnati and San Francisco in the Super Bowl in the preseason, and that is not going to happen.
What did I have? Do you have mine?
I don't have yours, but I seem to recall Baltimore and somebody. It may have been Baltimore and San Francisco. Which might happen.
Ooh, God, did I really? Am I really that smart? No way, man. I hope so.
I think you may have had the Eagles, actually. Baltimore and the Eagles.
Yeah, that might be right. Yeah, the Niners are looking good, but who knows? They may be in trouble. But, yeah, those candidates are all make sense. I mean, look, I think if I'm a Titans fan, I want to hear about when they're able to do it, Bobby Slowick getting an interview. And, of course, that makes sense. He and Rand Carthon were together in San Francisco. I want to hear about Ben Johnson getting an interview. And, you know, beyond that, I mean, look, I think Frank Smith is an interesting candidate as well. You know, if they're looking for, that's the thing, like Antonio Pierce, you know, if you're looking for like Dan Campbell, I'm watching that post game and I'm like, there is something to be said for the straight up ball coach, you know, who, and then you have good coordinators underneath him and he's good with people and he's good at evaluating people and, you know, and just a big, strong guy can motivate, you know, like someone like, I don't know, maybe they could interview Mike Vrabel.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Robbie, how's that rebuild coming along there in Green Bay, man?
It's going pretty well, man. A little bit ahead of schedule.
Dude, so it's pretty wild watching that. Like, number one, I don't think there's like 90% of the viewers last night, if not more, that were just elated with what's happening, unless you bet on it, which I'm sure that killed every single parlay in the world last night. But no, dude, that was a great game for Jordan Love, man. Like, I think he's a great. I mean, he's a fantastic quarterback. What kills me with this is like he's got all the time in the world. All these quarterbacks in these games have all the time in the world. I'm sitting here going, man, the Titans, we suck, man. Like, our offensive line is putrid. And you see Detroit, like, the way there's pull, the way, like, it's just amazing how bad we are. But that's not why I called you. So I called last week and I said that Jim Schwartz would be my candidate. And I would like to retract that, like, publicly, because not only because the Browns got roasted, but I'm sitting here going, you know what? Like, I went to bat for the old guys, man. I'm like, and the defensive guys. And then you're going to give up like 100 points in a playoff game to the Texans. So, yeah, I would like to take that back and stick to an offensive coach if I can do
Thanks
that.
Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it.
Adam's fired Jim Schwartz.
Yep. Jim Schwartz is out. Well, a couple of things there. Number one, I think if you polled Titans fans, the offensive coach is overwhelmingly the way that people are going to want this thing to go. And number two, and I brought this up earlier, and he talked about it there. You know, we could talk about Bobby Slowick and the great job that he's done. We could talk about Ben Johnson and the great job that he's done. Packers annihilated the Cowboys, and Jordan Love looked great. Jordan Love had a lot of time to throw the ball. C.J. Stroud in that game had a lot of time to throw the ball. And Jared Goff, for the most part, had a lot of time to throw the ball. I mean, the offensive line makes such a big difference. And that's why I keep going back to, like, the coach is important. And, you know, we're going to find out what Will Levis is made of. But if you're the Titans and you can't fix this offensive line this offseason, you're screwed. I mean, that's what it comes down to. You got to find a way to fix it.
No doubt. Yeah, and actually, if you go to the Chiefs game, and they've obviously done a lot to fix their offensive line. Remember, you know, that Super Bowl a couple of years ago, it was rough shape. But the Dolphins, both of their, you know, you got Phillips and Chubb both out. And so they got guys up the street. They had zero pressure. Zero pressure on Mahomes all night. So it's the same thing. All four teams that advanced had quarterbacks operating mostly from clean pockets. It's critical. It's essential. I said earlier on the show, the few times the Rams did get to Jared Goff, he looked like the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's like, like trying to like two arm throw the ball out of bounds backwards. It's like, oh my gosh, when that guy has a pocket, he's Joe Montana. And when he doesn't, you know, he's, I don't know. Give me a bad quarterback. Give me an all-time bad quarterback. There you go. Gosh, this poor guy. Sorry, Zach. I didn't mean for this to turn into rip on you, but you know, it's amazing how much difference that makes. More, you know, more with some quarterbacks than others. But it's critical, and it's the absolute left tackle that can protect Will Levis. However you go about it, I think that's just got to be top of the list.
Billy from Bellevue on the text line says, if they hire the Giants offensive coordinator, we riot. A lot of Titans fans not very happy with the Kafka interview. I will say that.
Now, the funny thing is, a year ago, it's a different feeling, right? They had a crap season, and Dabol and Wink Martindale had some huge issue and all this stuff. I mean, I don't know that Kafka like deserves to. I mean, frankly, anybody who has done what he and Dabol have done with Daniel Jones probably deserves some credit. But I get it. You're not winning the presser when you're coming from a team that had that season.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Preds Pick to Click. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, our phone number. If you guess the goal scorer, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that coming up next. Our final thoughts on Wild Card Weekend and the Titans coaching search as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Preds back in action tonight on the road, taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop at 5 o'clock, pregame at 4 o'clock here on 102.5, 106.3 the game. A standings update in the competition, Joe. Last time out, every one of us on the board, and that includes myself. First time on the board since November 9th of 2023. I get in there, I score, and then everybody else gets on the board right after me as well. So that brings the standings to the listeners and Rex Road tied atop the standings with 11 correct answers apiece. Nick Kieser with 7, and I have moved from 2 to 3, and I'm very proud of it, Joe.
Remind me again who you picked.
I just deleted it, so I O'Reilly. Can't remember who I picked. O'Reilly, that's who it was.
So Ryan O'Reilly is the one Spinal Tap drummer who didn't spontaneously combust while drumming for Spinal Tap, for those of you who would get that
reference. That is correct. Shout out to Ryan O'Reilly. He overcame even the curse of Robbie Stanley. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend April. April, good morning. Thank you for calling in, especially on what I'm sure is a somber day for you. Who is your pick to click for the Nashville Predators?
First, I'd like to congratulate you on your Packers beating my terrible Cowboys yesterday. Zero defense. So, yes, I'm sad, but I'm excited with the snow. And since it's a late hockey week, it couldn't work out better for me as a teacher. So, but my pick is Philip Forsberg.
There we go. Thank you, April. Appreciate you calling in.
Have a great day.
April's all over me on the text line. Said I was rubbing it in a little earlier. Sorry. It's a big win.
I mean, you got to do it. Yeah. Sorry. We should have asked her if she wants Vrabel or Belichick. Which one?
We should have. So Forsberg off the board. I'm up first today. And Joe, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going back with O'Reilly. O'Reilly on the board again. Forsberg, O'Reilly off the board. Joe, your pick to click.
All right. Well, we're letting you pick players who actually are expected to score goals again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, you know what? He was so good in Dallas. I think he's going to get one. I think he's going to get one of his own on the power play today. Roman Josi.
He was excellent in Dallas. No question about that. Forsberg, O'Reilly, Josi off the board. Nick Kieser, your pick to click.
I'll tell you what. He has looked okay since being called up, and I go with depth players. Let's see if he scores one tonight, but give me Denis Gerianov in Vegas.
Man, look at you. You've been in there last week. Goody Glass. Parsonen, who scored, and now Denis Gurianov. I like it. Definitely the first Denis Gurianov pick we've ever had in the history of the competition.
Yeah, speaking of Spinal, it's like Spinal Tap B-sides, man. Going with the deep cuts. I like it.
Pick to Click brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get your home seen, heard, and sold. Joe, we talked about this earlier, but a big weekend for the Preds. They beat Dallas on the road. They beat New York, the Islanders, in the final seconds on Saturday night at home. And now a huge week for them on the road against some good teams. Vegas tonight, L.A. on Thursday, and then a date with the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday night. Some big games coming up the rest of this month for the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely – if they are still in strong position, really, like if you get to the end of this month and they're still around where they are now, that's a big deal. Because, you know, they got more home games and things like that. And I know they haven't played as well at home, but still. I mean, there is some there's some really tough road games coming up here for this team. So this, to me, is very much a kind of hang in the race and prove you belong couple weeks here for this team.
Joe, how are we feeling about the games today in the NFL? Steelers taking on the Bills, and then the A.J. Brownless Philadelphia Eagles in Tampa tonight taking on Baker Mayfield and the Bucs.
Well, I picked the Steelers to hang in even before I knew it was going to be, as you said, Hoth today in Buffalo. Look, it might be one of those days. By the way, is it snowing where you guys are? Because we're getting hit pretty hard right at this moment.
I have not looked out the window, but...
Yes, it is snowing.
Yep, so here we go, and we're not going to be above freezing for a week, but that's us. In Buffalo, I think the Steelers could muck that thing up, but I think the Bills will win, and I'm really intrigued by the night game. I still can't really get there on this Nick Sirianni possibly being fired deal a year after going to the Super Bowl. If that doesn't tell you how precarious a coaching job in the NFL is, I don't know what does. Without A.J. Brown, that is a big loss for the Eagles, and they're kind of a mess. But, of course, he's also kind of been a mess, and there's obviously a lot of talk about him being unhappy and stuff. I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of addition by subtraction for one game. But their defense is really the problem. Their defense has been atrocious, in particular, since Matt Patricia is taking over. Like, Patricia and McDaniels, these guys, like, they just keep getting massive opportunities, and, like, people keep ignoring why they shouldn't get them. But I think the Eagles should win. I just don't know. I don't know what to expect in that game.
Did the Titans win the trade? Is it over?
Yeah, yeah. Who the heck? Someone recently said something about that. Like, yeah, this trade may end up looking good for the Titans. Like, no, please stop.
It's already looked bad for the Titans. There's no eventually looking good. It's already looked bad. We'll keep you up to date on the latest with the Titans coaching search as well throughout the day here on 102.5 The Game. Stay safe out there. There's a lot of snow, and there's more snow coming down as we speak. So don't be on the roads unless you absolutely have to. Nick Kieser camping out at our 102.5 The Game studios last night. Hope everybody stays safe out there. And Joe, I may attempt to do some sledding today. We'll see how that goes.
Ooh, Allison sledding?
I don't know about that. But we'll see how it goes.
Just you?
Yeah, chicken wave. That does it for us today here on the program. Chasing Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.